The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Research shows that almost half of 8-year-olds in less advantaged areas own a smartphone in comparison to those in more middle-class areas. The data from CyberSafe Kids shows that children from lower income backgrounds have a higher level of exposure to harm than their peers in better off districts. Now, to talk about all of this and more, we're joined by Alex Cooney, CEO and co-founder of CyberSafe Kids, and Stella O'Malley, psychotherapist and author of What Your Teen Is Trying to Tell You. Good morning and welcome to you both. Now, Alex, good morning to you, first of all. This data is not particularly surprising to you.
No, we've been monitoring this over the last 10 years, and we've seen that, generally speaking, there are higher levels of access in more disadvantaged communities if you compare to the general population. So they're more likely to have a phone, more likely to have a device, a smart device, access to social media. It is something that we're aware of.
Now, do you have an understanding of why that might be? Because these are expensive devices.
They are expensive devices, but children are growing up in a digital age. And I think what we've done is establish norms that children will have quite high levels of access from a young age. They may have more access in those communities just because there's lower levels of parental awareness around risks. And I think we need to do a lot more to upskill all parents and make sure that there is awareness about risks that children can be exposed to in these online environments. And I think we also need to do a lot more to make those online environments safer for children.
Which is a major task, and the whole question of age verification and access to social media beyond a certain age, something that governments everywhere are kind of deliberating at the moment, and the French government has taken action, for instance, and I believe others too. Stella, what is your take on this?
Yeah, I think there needs to be a cultural awareness that phones are bad for children. I think we've all become kind of normalized. As they say, you know, every time you put your phone down, there's a multi-billion euro industry trying to get you to pick it back up. And it succeeds. We all know that we're online too much. But it reminds me of like in the 1980s when everybody smoked and everybody knew that they shouldn't be smoking. But children, for example, I could buy single cigarettes from the local shop at the time because there was a kind of cultural acceptance that cigarettes were bad, but they were just ubiquitous. And there's a very similar mentality going on with phones that we just think we can't get away with it, can't get away from them, and we just have to accept them. We don't. We need to change the culture around this because it's damaging children's childhood and it's damaging families' lives. It's causing an awful lot of destruction.
Okay,
people think it's a private tragedy, but it's very pervasive.
In terms of that buying a single cigarette or two Woodbines for dad or whatever it might be when the kid was sent into the shop, and the kid could have been buying them for himself or herself for all we know. Anyway, nowadays, if you said that to a 10-year-old child, they would laugh. They would say that's ridiculous. So we have managed to get rid of that particular habit because we acknowledge the danger of cigarette smoking. Do you think you could do that with a new generation of 9, 10-year-olds, say, phones are bad for you, when they're looking at their older brother and sister quite happily using their phone?
Yeah, that's the actual issue, that there's a cultural kind of acceptance towards phones, that we're using them as our an extra arm at this stage. And I think we all are starting to come around to the idea that it's making us jittery, it's making us irritable, we're too reliant on it. The social skills of children are being significantly reduced, and also they're being exposed to adult content way too early, and they're becoming very, very unable to entertain themselves. So there's a kind of a lack of fun. And John Hythe, you know, the psychologist, discussed how we've moved from a play-based childhood to a phone-based childhood. And that's exactly what's happened. And that's not as much fun. It's not as good for the children. And we're allowing it to happen because of massive profits from phone and online organizations that know how to make money from us.
But I'm just thinking there would be very few children who actually are exposed directly to the ad for Samsung or iPhone or whatever. I mean, it's peer pressure. And where does the original desire to have an iPhone come from when they make their communion or their confirmation or whatever, and they have a stash of money? Is it coming from their own peers? Is it coming from the parents who gave their peer the first iPhone in the class?
Well, I'd be very reluctant to actually blame parents in this context. And I know people would be probably messaging me and saying the parents need to take the phones off them. Any parent will know just how much it's become integrated into life. And, you know, so many, for example, the teenagers, they're all basically presumed to have a phone. So the homework is based around take a photo of your homework. You know what I mean? Use your online devices to have your homework. So our ability, for example, to confiscate the phone from the teenager has been massively reduced by schools who have integrated phones and devices into their homework. So you can't actually confiscate it. So I would say, no, there's a bigger kind of scenario at play, where very large companies such as Apple have made it cool and glamorous in a million different types of ways, so that we just think that it's actually ubiquitous, that we have no other option. And so it does take a huge cultural shift to change it. And blaming the parents is lazy, if you ask me.
Okay, Alex, what is your take on this? Because the mobile phone, the smartphone, is an incredibly useful device. I mean, it's your encyclopedia. It's your map. It gets you home safely if you're in a strange neighborhood, in theory at least. It does so many things for you. So how do you say to the kids, it's too soon for you to have this?
I mean, I think we need to look at this as a societal issue and come at it from that angle. And I would agree with Stella that there's too much pressure on parents. We're making this a parent problem when actually it's a societal problem. We absolutely need to upskill and support parents, and that's a key strategy. And we need to encourage parents to hold off giving their children access and devices too young. And certainly when they are of primary school age, they should be supervised when they're using them, because there are lots of good things they can be doing online, but unfortunately there are also lots of risks. We need to make sure that we've got good education in schools so that every child is benefiting from a good digital literacy and online safety education. And we need to put far greater accountability on these companies that provide these online environments that children are going into. At the end of the day, you can have a child that has had all the education and support from a parent, but if they're going into an inherently online, unsafe online environment, you still have problems. So it's really incredible to me that we're only now today looking at putting age verification on access to things like pornography. So we are very much behind on this one, and we need to get on top and put proper accountability and standards in place. And, you know, it's not about banning children from the online world, because actually there's lots of good things that they can be doing online. But it is about putting age appropriate access in place, putting accountability where it needs to be, upskilling parents and educating children.
I was listening to a man this morning on our Business Breakfast show talking about the age verification in off licenses and in vape shops. And it's a technological solution where they take a snapshot of the person and they make an estimate of the child's age, and then the vape shop owner can put in whatever threshold they think is appropriate. And the recommendation was, if your age limit is 18, will you put in 25, and you'll be sure you're not getting people who are under 18. That kind of technology, it's there. Is that the necessary solution, that you use tech rather than trying to encourage parents, teachers and other significant adults in the lives of the kids to monitor them, to police them and to mind them?
Yeah, I mean, look, parents are the key decision makers. We do need parents to be aware of the risks and to be making good decisions around when their children are getting access, where they're getting access. You know, we need to keep devices out of bedrooms and so on. But absolutely, we need technological solutions as well. There's loads of developments in the age verification space. You know, there's facial recognition technology that's very effective age assurance options available. So we need to make sure that we're using those. Obviously, there are developments in France, in Australia. There are trials around age verification because they've put these new laws in place that will be come to effect in November this year. So I think they're looking at 50 different solutions. So the technology is there. It exists. We need to make sure that we're putting it in place. And not just that, because it's not just about blocking access. It's also about ensuring that those online environments are really much safer. Can thrive online. At the moment, that's just not the case. They are full of risk. They are coming into contact with people they don't know. They're coming into contact with content that is not appropriate for their age and can really have an impact on their development. So we really do need societal solutions, and we need to stop talking about it and get on with putting them in place.
Stella, that business of getting on with it, I mean, I know whenever I forget my phone, and it happens maybe once every 3 months, I find myself driving into work and I said, uh-oh, I've left my phone. And I really feel undressed without it. And I'm sure that's the same feeling for teenagers when they go to school. If they don't have that phone in their bag, which may go into a pouch in school if that scheme works very well, but just not to have access to it makes them feel vulnerable in some way.
Yeah, and they need to learn to live without their phones. The idea that children are being kind of brought up, raised, dependent on phones, or they haven't actually lived without a phone, because we all have, is frightening, because it feels like they've no time to kind of just be themselves, and they're always just being kind of vaguely entertained in an unsatisfying way by their screens. But I do want to point out that if the tech companies wanted to get behind the parents and help them, at a flick of a switch, they could have good parental controls, good age verification. It doesn't suit their profit margins to have good parental controls and good age verification. And so we don't have it. And we need societal pressure, governmental pressure on these tech companies to kind of get on the parents' side, because they're fighting. They're like the little boy with the finger in the dam. They're fighting huge tech companies. The children can go online and look at YouTube videos about how to get around parental controls in like 3 seconds. So it's not a fair fight, what's happening. And this pitting the parents against the tech companies isn't fair. It's the tech companies who could easily improve this. They could do kind of a system where you could get rid of some devices and other devices were actually able to be played with in the family home. Very easy. That's a tech solution that could easily be brought about. They're not doing it because of profits.
And there's got to be pressure to bring that about. Stella Malley, psychotherapist, author of What Your Teen Is Trying to Tell You, and Alex Cooney, CEO and co-founder of CyberSafe Kids. Thank you both very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.